Psalm chapter 17, and we will read Psalm chapter 17 and verse number 1. The Bible says, "Hear the right, O Lord, and attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. Thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Concerning the works of man, by the word of thy lips I have kept me from the paths of the destroyer. Hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. I have called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me, and hear my speech. Show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by the right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me in the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. From the wicked that oppress me, from my deadly enemies who compass me about, they are enclosed in their own fat. With their mouth they speak proudly. They are now compassed us in our steps. They have set their eyes bowing down to the earth, like as a lion that is greedy of his prey, and as it were a young lion lurking in secret places. Arise, O Lord, disappoint them. Cast him down, deliver my soul from the wicked, which is thy sword. From men which are thy hand, O Lord, from men of the world, which have their portion in this life, whose belly thou fillest with thy hid treasure, they are full of children, and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness." Let's pray together this morning. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity that we have to be able to study your word together. We're grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together on this Lord's Day to worship you in song. We're grateful for every aspect of your kindness that you've showed to us today to give us the opportunity to be here. And Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts and in our lives as we study your word. I pray that you would show us areas that need to be corrected. I pray, Lord, that you would direct our steps and help us to honor you with our lives. We're grateful for all that you've done and what you will do. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. In this passage of scripture, David is reminding us some truths about life. And let's take a moment and let's talk about life here this morning. I think there are some important truths that we need to know about our life. First of all, our life is a precious gift from God. Our life is a precious gift from God. Psalm 139 in verse 13 says, "For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb." In Psalm 139, verse 16, the Bible says, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." We are created by God, and our life has great value. But not only does our life have great value, we also understand the fact that we are fearfully and wonderfully made by God and that we have purpose in Him. You know, our world today would suggest to you that we're just some cosmic accident in this universe. But we were created by God on purpose and for a purpose. We were created by God. The Bible says in Psalm 8, verse 3, "When I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained," the psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the Son of Man, the Lord Jesus, who would visit humanity." What is man? We are created by God, and we have great value today to God. What is the worth of the soul, the Bible says? It is more than all of the riches of our world. The Bible says in Psalm 139, verse 14, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and I am wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." We are created by God for a purpose. But also, as we look at life, we understand today that life can be hard. Life can be difficult. And maybe this morning you're going through some difficulties in your life. Life brings difficulties and trials and troubles. We find grief in life. We find hardship in life. We find loss in life. We find disappointments in life. And the Bible says in Job 5 verse 7, "Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward." We have many difficulties that come into our life. Not only is life hard and valuable, not only is life a gift from God, but life is short. Life is short. The psalmist said, "Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am." James said, "Life is a vapor. It appeareth for a little time, and then it vanisheth away." I mean, even if you live to be 110, 110 compared to eternity, it's just a vapor. It is here and it is gone. Life is short. Life is to be lived in wisdom. The Bible says in Psalm 90 and verse number 12, "So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And so when we open the book of Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, as we read the book of Genesis, we understand God gave humanity purpose. We are not just placed on this earth to live and then to die. We are not just here to have existence. We have been given a purpose by God. In Genesis, before sin entered into the world, we know some things to be true. We know that, first of all, God wanted to fellowship with us. God desired to fellowship with us. God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day, and there was fellowship with God. And the Bible says that God created us in his own image. Man is triune, as God also is a triunity. We are triune. We are a soul. He breathed in our nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And so we are a soul that live in a body that possesses a spirit. We are triune. And in Genesis 1, verse 26, we notice the first time the triunity or the Trinity or Godhead is mentioned in the Bible, when God said, let us make man in our image. And so we are created in the image of God, the Bible says. The Bible teaches us that we are created in God's image, and we are created wonderfully and fearfully by the hand of Almighty God. I love the story of the boy sitting on his father's lap, and they were looking into a mirror, and the boy said to his dad, he says, "Dad, who made me?" And the dad said, "God made you, son." And he said, "Dad, who made you?" And he said, "God made you, son." He said, "Dad, who made granddad?" And the father said, "God made him, son." He said, "Well, then, Dad, who made great-granddad?" And he said, "God made him, son. Why are you asking all of these questions?" And the boy took one more look in the mirror and said, "Well, it just seems to me that God's been doing a better job in recent years." God made us. We are created by God, the Bible says. And so we are made in his image, but also God gave us dominion. When we read in the Bible, we see that God had given dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowls of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth. And I believe as Jesus walked on this earth and he had dominion on this earth and he told those fishes to swim into the disciples' net, that Adam and Eve also had dominion over the animals. You say, how in the world did they name all of these animals? He told them to come and they came because Adam was king and he had dominion over all the creation of God. God gave him dominion and God made us to be social. The Bible says that it was not good for man to be alone, and God made man to fellowship with other people. God made Adam a helpmeet. The Bible says in Genesis 2, verse 18, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. And the Christian life is not to be lived secluded. The Christian life is, by the plan of God, is to be lived in fellowship with other believers in the local church to encourage us and to help us and to pick us up when we fall. And we see that man was created to be social, but also God gave humanity a task. And so in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 15, the Bible says, and the Lord God took the man and he put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it or to guard it. God gave Adam responsibility. People will often say, well, you know, work is a part of the fall. No, God gave Adam a task before sin entered into the world. This is a part of God's plan. God gave responsibility to Adam that he would guard that garden and that he would dress that garden. And then sin entered into the picture and fellowship with God was broken and dominion was lost, the Bible says in the book of Hebrews. And Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and their task was finished. Sin had marred God's original plan. But sin didn't catch God by surprise. We read about it in Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. We call it the pro-evangelium, or the first mention of the gospel in the Bible, where God says that through the seed of the woman, the head of the serpent would be crushed, and God promised the second Adam, his only begotten son, that would come and he would die for the sins of the world, and that Jesus would come and restore the fellowship that was lost by the first Adam. Now in our text, David is praying to the Lord. And he's looking at his life. His life is a little confusing at this particular time. I mean, David has just been anointed king. But there's one big problem in David's perspective of life, and that is the old king is trying to kill him. I mean, he's been told, you will be the next king of Israel. But wait a minute, he's fleeing for his life. And Saul is pursuing him like a wild beast. And he is out in the desert and he doesn't know what to do. And he's pouring his heart out to God. And he's saying, God, I need your help in my life. I need you to save me. And I want us to look and investigate this truth as we consider David's thoughts and help apply those thoughts to our lives here this morning. First of all, can we notice number one in our text there, the heart of David. The heart of David. He writes in verse number one, hear the right, O Lord. Attend unto my cry. Give ear unto my prayer that goeth not out of feigned lips. Now, as we investigate this heartfelt prayer of a man after God's own heart, we notice some important truths about David's life, his character. And first of all, we notice right away that David was authentic. David was authentic. He writes here that this prayer that proceeds from this chapter in the Psalms is not a prayer from feigned lips. The word feigned means to be fake or to be masked. And here in this passage of Scripture, the Bible is teaching us that here was a man who is pouring out his heart to God in a very difficult place in his life. And he says, listen, Lord, I want you to know that this is a prayer from a genuine, real, not perfect, but a genuine heart as I seek you. David had a desire to know God. And I believe that David also had a desire for others to know God. Because he said the earth will know when he fought Goliath that there is a God in Israel. David had a genuine heart. In this tough time, in this time of trouble, David said, Lord, you know, this is a genuine prayer. You know, when we read through the book of 1 John, the context of 1 John, or if we could say the subject of 1 John, is about being real. It is written to Christians, believers, and the subject on 1 John is that we would be a real Christian, that we would know that we're a Christian and that we would be confident in being a Christian, but we would be also authentic in our Christian life. The word heart is used in this scripture is the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. It is a part of our being where we desire, where we deliberate, we could say. Someone wrote these words, it has been described, the heart, as the place of conscience and decisive spiritual activity. The comprehensive term for a person as a whole, his feelings, his desires, his passions, his thoughts, his understanding and will, and the center of a person. In other words, who we are, our words, our activity, our attitudes, it all comes from our heart. Now we understand why the psalmist said, keep your heart with all diligence. For from your heart flows all the issues of our life. And so the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul said this about Timothy. He says, listen, now the end of the commandment is charity or love out of a pure heart, out of a genuine, sincere heart. It's not just having the actions of love. We would call that sympathy. No, he says we want love that comes from a loving heart, a loving heart. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, notice what Paul said about Timothy. He said, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. The word there, unfeigned, again, is the idea of not being masked or not being fake, being genuine. He had a genuine faith. He had a real faith. And God wants us to be real today. God wants us to be right with him today. I notice not only do we see that he was authentic, but we notice the psalmist was also assessed by God. Verse number 2, he says, let my sentence come forth from thy presence. Let thine eyes behold the things that are equal. David, of course, is desiring a walk with God, and he's desiring to be right with God. The sentence he talks about in verse 2 of this psalm, or judgment, is proceeding from the very presence of God. The very presence of God. David wanted to be right with the Lord. He wanted to be right with God in his daily life. And so he writes in verse 3, he says, thou hast proved mine heart. Thou hast visited me in the night. Thou hast tried me and shall find nothing. I am purposed that my mouth shall not transgress. Here we find that David is assessed by God. And God looked deep in his heart to see his motives, to see his attitudes, to assess his motivation and integrity. And God says, this is an upright man. No wonder David said, search my heart, O God, and see if there be any wicked way in me. I just believe that the greatest asset that you can have in your life this morning is to lay your head on the pillow at night and to know that you are right with God. To know that if you were to not wake up, that you would be in the presence of God. To know that you are walking with the Lord. You're not perfect, but you're striving to please the Lord. And in that moment, you are pleasing God. You are right with God. And so David was this kind of man. This was this kind of prayer. It was authentic. He was assessed by God. God had looked at his heart. But I think also we notice that he walked according to the truth. Look at the Bible says in verse 4. It says, concerning the works of men, by the word of thy lips, I have kept me from the pass of the destroyer. Now, people are torn in what the destroyer represents in verse number 4 of our text. Some have suggested that the destroyer represents the devil and the work of the devil and how the devil desires to discourage us and destroy us. Others suggest that the destroyer is sin itself and the lust of our own flesh and how it draws us away from God. Others suggested that he was more specific than that he was talking about Saul, who tried to kill him, or who was trying to kill him. But at the end of the day, we know that David honored God with his life, even in the very harshest time, even in the most difficult time. The Bible says that he stayed clear from those who would dishonor the Lord, those who would mock the Bible. And the psalmist said it this way in Psalm 1, verse 1. He said, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is the heart of God, and this was the heart of David. He wanted to follow and pursue after God with all of his heart. And so we find the heart of David. Can we notice, secondly, the hunt of David? The hunt of David. In verse number 6, we notice answered prayer, God hearing his prayer. Verse 6, I called upon thee, for thou wilt hear me. O God, incline thine ear unto me and hear my speech. What great comfort it must have been to David as he was running away from Saul, that God heard his prayer, that God was on his side. And this is the truth for all of us today. Casting all of your care upon him. When was the last time you cast all of your care upon him? We carry these heavy burdens each and every day in our life. These giant backpacks of burdens of life. Life is hard. Life is difficult. And we have all of these burdens, and God says, hey, take off those backpacks of burdens and cast them upon me and let me carry those burdens. And we do that through prayer. We do that by pouring our heart out to God, as David was in this passage of Scripture. An answered prayer, I see also the armor of God. He says in verse number 7 here, show thy marvelous loving kindness, O thou that savest by thy right hand them which put their trust in thee from those that rise up against them. Keep me as the apple of the eye. Hide me under the shadow of thy wings. We notice in our text here, first of all, the approval of God. The thought here of apple of his eye speaks of the favor of God, which was important to David. It was God's purposes for David's life. And again, I want to remind you this morning that you are special to God. Your life is important to God. You matter to God. You may feel like you're all alone in this world, and there are times where you might feel like no one cares, no one understands, but I'm here to tell you that God understands and God cares about you. You matter to Him. He loves you. You are loved by Him. You are the apple of His eye. And David understood this truth, that though he was in the middle of nowhere being hunted by a rogue king, that the reality is God knew the circumstance and God knew his own heart and God was with him to help him. And we notice the assignment under the wings of God, the protection, to know that we are protected under God's wings is the thought that David uses. In the book of Ruth, we see it illustrated in Ruth's life, that she found shelter and provision under the Almighty's wing. In Psalm 91, verse 4, the psalmist said, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings thou shalt trust." We find that peace and security and provision under his wings. We are protected by God. And David looked at his life. We see the heart of David. He was walking with God. He was real. He was authentic. We notice the hunt of David. He cast his care upon the Lord and he rested under the will of God, under the shelter of God. But can I also remind you, thirdly, of the happiness of David? And you're saying, happiness? How? He's being hunted by the king. How could he find happiness in such dire circumstances? Well, let's let David speak on our behalf here. It says in verse number 14, "For men which are thy hand, O Lord, for men of the world which have their portion in this life, and whose belly thou fillest with hid treasure, they are full of children and leave the rest of their substance to their babes. As for me, I will behold thy face and righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness." I want us to notice, we see here that David had protection from the anguish and attack of worldly men. And notice the Bible says here also, this is interesting, "men of thy hand." Sometimes God allows circumstances to come into our life to build us. David understood that all of the events of his life were Father filtered, that God allowed Saul to act in this way. And yet he understood as well that it was the Lord that was his portion in life. It was the Lord in whom he would trust in, and that his whole purpose was found in God, where these worldly men, their whole purpose is found and wrapped up in the world. It says here their portion, their reward is found in this temporal world. They live, they have children, they leave all their portion to their children. And David is saying here, they never really understand true purpose. They never really understand true peace or contentment in their soul. And they never are ready to die. And yet David separated himself from that worldly philosophy and said, "I don't live my life like that. I am trusting in God. And though they may never have peace and never be happy," he says, "I'm satisfied in God in my life." We see the appetite of David in verse 15. "As for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I wake with thy likeness." Can we go to the New Testament and read a parallel scripture here to 1 John chapter 3? 1 John chapter 3, I believe John is referring to this very thought of David in 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 2. Remember, the book of 1 John is written that we would be authentic, that we would live an authentic Christian life. And he writes here in chapter 3 verse 2, "Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Some thoughts here. First of all, David focused on the eternal. He saw the Lord in everything. I will see God was his attitude. I will understand all of this. I'm happy to tell you that David understands why God allowed Saul to pursue him. And one day we will understand why the troubles of our life have occurred. David saw God in the circumstances of his life. But also he was satisfied in God. Psalm chapter 23, can we turn there? Psalm chapter 23, probably one of the most famous psalms written by David. But he gives us the same thought here in this psalm as we think of satisfaction in the leading of the Lord. Psalm chapter 23 and verse number 1. Notice what the Bible says. It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Life has purpose in God. And the Bible says, as the shepherd leads us and directs us, the sheep is satisfied in the direction and the leading and the provision of the good shepherd. The Bible says it this way in Hebrews 13, verse 5. It says, "Let your conversation," that is the life that you live, your behavior, "let it be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he," God, "has said, I will never leave you." In other words, you have the greatest thing. You have the most important thing. God says, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to be satisfied because I have purpose." David said, "I'm going to be satisfied because God has a plan for my life." But also he had purpose to keep moving forward in a troubled world. Can we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17? 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 17. And can we look what the Bible says here? It says in verse 17 of chapter 4, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." I don't know the battle that you're facing today in your life. And I don't know the trial that you're bearing, and maybe you're confused about life, and maybe you're confused about why God would allow certain things. And I know bitterness can spring up and trouble you and trouble many around you. And maybe you're wondering, does God see me? Does God care about me? And maybe you're wondering today if you got the short end of the stick. Why are all of these things befalling me? You may be wondering. But I want you to know today that you are fearfully and you're wonderfully made by God. And God didn't make a mistake when he made you. He loves you, and you have purpose in Jesus Christ today. And if you're not a Christian, his will for your life today is that you'd be saved, that you'd be born again, that you would enter into his family. And if you are a Christian today, he is leading you and directing you and helping you. And God help us today to be able to say, as the psalmist in this passage of scripture, first of all, "I'm walking with God." The old hymn writer said, "Nothing between my soul and the Savior." I hope that's you today. I hope that's you today. But also we see his prayer, his casting his care upon the Lord. This is not only the heart of David, but the hunt of David. And we see that David has answered prayer, and the armor of God, the approval of God, the assignment under the wings of God. But then he's looking at all of the world today and their pursuits and their purposes. And we see the happiness of David. And he's saying, listen, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord, and I'm going to trust in him. Because God has a purpose for me, and I will come out on ahead as I look to the Lord and as I trust in him. And I say to you today, keep your head high and keep your eyes on the Lord, because he is on your side. And if you're not a Christian today, before you leave this auditorium, would you talk to me? Would you make sure before you leave that you are right with God today? Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. We're grateful for the opportunity.